Today we're reading from the book of Titus, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, and to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. This is the word of the Lord.
There are many different things I love about being a part of Dapto Anglican Church. One of the things, though, is that there's actually an amazing array of people that are at different ages and stages in their lives. From 8 o'clock all the way to 6 p.m., there is the makeup of so many different people that bring with them their own experiences, their own wisdom, into one area where we can learn from each other. And I'm sure each and every one of us have experienced more than one moment in our lives where it felt like it's kind of, we either get through this or we don't. It's do or die. There's a tense moment that you're one thing at one side, and unless you get through it to the other side, you're going to remain exactly where you were. I wonder if you've experienced this. I wonder how many times you've experienced this. I feel like Lisa and I are experiencing this with the twins right now. But I remember the first time I sort of was exposed to this concept of this crunch time in life. It was in year 7. And actually, I disappoint a lot of people when I share that given the choice in year 7, I had the fork in the road. It was either play rugby union or do musicals. And people still seem to be very disappointed that I chose musicals instead of rugby union. But I chose musicals, and I still remember the first ever rehearsal in year 7. The teachers that we had at my school were so passionate about what they did. They genuinely wanted us to grow. And I remember being sitting there listening to the head of drama saying, there are a lot of children here now, a lot of you students, and it's going to be fun for a little while, but the rehearsals are going to increase. The pressure is going to be put on, and some of you will not be here at the other side. We call this time crunch time. Some make it and some don't. And she was right. The numbers thinned by the end. But I remember that first ever rehearsal saying to myself, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to get through crunch time. And I did. Not just once, but every year through high school. But I didn't get through it just because I had faith in myself and my own determination. It's because I actually had faith in the teachers leading us. They really were passionate about what they did. They had some funny ways of doing it, but they were very passionate about growing us as people through this. And the stuff that they instilled in me back then, I still use today. I had faith in the teachers, but I also had faith in the other students around me. My friends and I loved what we were doing. We egged each other on, we pushed each other on, we kept each other accountable, and we got through this crunch time. It wasn't that we had faith in ourselves, we had faith in the whole thing around us. We're going through a series at the moment, which is the different stages of discipleship. And we hit the young adult stage. This stage in the long path is basically the crunch time of the whole stages. It is a time where faith is tested. The cost of being a disciple is felt properly. But it's also a chance to take ownership of the faith that you have been raised in or have recently been saved into. The reason why the disciples get through this crunch time is not because of their own strength, it's not their own determination, but it's because they have faith in the one who saved them in the first place. The one who gives them the true purpose throughout the whole thing. In our passage today, we are reading about Titus, who has been put in charge of a church. It's an interesting character because he's kind of on the cusp between young adult and parent. He's very much under Paul, but he's been left to kind of put together a church on his own as well. He's sort of doing both at the same time. And Paul is encouraging him to live a life that models the one who we all have faith in, the one that we share eternal hope in Jesus Christ himself. Because if he wants the people under him to live like that, to take that on, to get through crunch time themselves, then Titus needs to live it out as well. So as I said, we've gone from infant to child, and now we are at young adult. But I think it's important to say that it's tempting, particularly by our very helpful graphics, to think this is actually when you're an infant, you're an infant. And then when you're a child in life, chronologically, you're a child. And then when you're kind of that hip young adult age, you're a young adult then as well. But not necessarily. Yes, but no. For some of us here today, you were saved by Jesus much later on in life, just like myself. I can't actually pinpoint completely when I was a young adult. It happened so fast for me. But it is most commonly felt through the ages of youth and young adult in churches, but not necessarily. And we see this young adult parent relationship in the letters for between Paul and Titus and another young gun minister that is growing out there, Timothy as well. He greets them in each letter by saying, first to Timothy, in 1 Timothy, it says, "My true son in faith." In 2 Timothy, he greets Timothy by saying, "My dearly loved son." And then he greets Titus in the first chapter, "My true son in our common faith." There's this young adult parent relationship that is bound together by the shared faith and eternal hope they have in Jesus. Paul is the one investing in them and growing them so they can do ministry. They show the signs of being a young adult. They need to do ministry. There's this compulsion. They have this energy. They need to do ministry. This sense of purpose of where they fit in God's plan to bring about salvation. They're also trusting in Jesus' faithfulness. After all, for Titus, he has been left behind by Paul in this church of Crete where a whole bunch of stuff is going on. Not to put down the fact that there are false teachings go along that he has to counteract. A young adult is typically captured in someone who is passionate for Jesus. There's that passion, that thing that's incredibly intoxicating about a young adult. It's new and it's beautiful and you can't help but be taken in by it. It's also a stage where Jesus is very much the center. Jesus is the reason for doing everything. This is also when someone becomes mission-minded as well. What a person does as a young adult is actually want to make everything about bringing forth God's kingdom, about going on his mission for the gospel. But what's unique to the young adult compared to their parent is this person needs guidance. There's a whole bunch of energy that just needs to be directed in the right ways, otherwise a whole bunch of chaos can come out of it. A young adult needs that older, wiser person that we can see in Paul teaching, guiding, and leading and helping this person. To be a young adult is a stage of learning. It's a stage of growing and exploring what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, what it means to do his work, to do ministry. But all with the safety net of learning through failure, that is the time to try things out, make mistakes, and it is okay because there's the safety of those around them. Being able to fail in the safety net of guidance. There's a couple of stories in Matthew's gospel that I really think captures this for the disciples. In chapter 10, the disciples are sent out by Jesus under his power and his authority to go out and do exactly what he had been doing so far, to heal the sick, to exorcise demons, to preach the gospel. And by the time they get to chapter 17, there's a chance for the disciples to actually exorcise a demon, and they try really hard, but they can't do it. then they don't understand why they weren't able to do it. They reach out to Jesus and ask for his help, and he ends up being the one who exorcises the demon. Then they ask him, why couldn't we drive this demon out? And Jesus replies, because of your little faith. He told them, for truly I tell you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing is impossible for you. At this point, what they have learned from Jesus when trying to do ministry in the safety net that he has provided them, as he is growing them before he leaves them, is they've learned that this is not on them. It's not about their own ability and their gifts to do something. It's actually what they do for him is directly connected to their faith in him. Their ministry is connected to the one they're ministering for. As a young adult, it is vital to learn through failing under safety, because you realize that you are not alone in this. But you put your faith in the one who has made such a difference in your life, the one who has raised you from death to life, Jesus, who has saved you and all those in the community of faith around you. And that's what makes a difference in your ministry, and that's what makes a difference to you. Is the point of learning when things don't just rest on your own shoulders. There's another story in Matthew's gospel where the disciples are in a boat and they're on the river. Jesus has gone off somewhere and they're not sure where he is, and it's cloudy and there's a storm happening. And they see in the distance this figure walking on the water. They think at first it's a ghost or some sort of spirit, but turns out it's actually Jesus walking on the water. And they're shocked by this. And Peter, being Peter, wants to go out and actually walk on the water with him, to do the impossible with him, and ask Jesus to invite him to do so. And Jesus invites him to walk on the water. He takes a few steps, staring at the one Jesus who he has faith in. He is able to do the impossible. That is, until he is distracted by the storm around him and he loses sight of the one he has faith in. And starts to sink. But as he sinks, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him and says to him, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Just like Peter, at the young adult's age, it is a practice at a time of stepping out in faith to do what seems impossible, to learn to trust in Jesus as you do ministry, knowing that even when you fall, even when you sink, you will be caught. At this stage, there's certain needs that a young adult has. The energy, that thing that's so intoxicating about this stage, needs to be directed. It needs a ministry that is appropriate to be put into, a ministry that is good for practicing and growing and trying out. A mentor figure is vital at this age, at this stage. The young adult needs someone to be investing in them regularly, to lead them and to share their own life's wisdom with them. A young adult needs ongoing relationships that encourage them to keep going while also keeping them accountable as they walk with Jesus. It's the time of establishing good boundaries and appropriate expectations. Because sometimes there's nothing worse than Christians who have high expectations of what church life is supposed to be like this side of the new creation. A young adult needs help. Help in identifying gifts in complex situations. Help to get back up again. I must admit, though, I do find the whole concept of young adult a bit confusing for me, because I didn't realize there was a thing until I had become a Christian. I became a Christian at 25, and let me tell you, in the secular world, nobody really talks about young adults all that much, but it's a big deal in church circles. To me, a young adult back then in the secular world is just YOLO. You only live life. Go out, explore, and experience the world, because you know, why not? This is the time to do it, after all. But there's no greater purpose at being a young adult. There's no reason behind it, only just that someone's told you that now is the time to seize the day. This coupled together with the fact that, unfortunately, we don't really have any rites of passages anymore for becoming an adult. The only thing we have these days is now that you're 18, you can do all the stuff that you weren't allowed to do beforehand. You can now go out drinking, gambling, smoking, and everything else. And that, unfortunately, has become the rites of passage. Has anyone ever heard of the Amish? Hands up. Yes, 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 yes. So the Amish is a group, it's a Christian community group, most basically in America, where they've kind of frozen themselves in time. They want to be separate from the world and keep pure from the world and all the temptations. But they've got this really fascinating practice for the young adult stage, which starts at 16 for them, way before us. But as a young adult, you go through a stage called Rumspringer, where actually you're allowed to go out on weekends and experience the world. It's fine. Go out, because they want the kids to make an informed decision whether they come back to the community afterwards. They do this as a time of discernment so that they have, because afterwards, once they've been baptized, the expectation is that Jesus is now Lord over all of their lives. Not just parts of it, but all of their lives. We don't have a formal stage for us in sort of our Christian circles, but it still happens. When I first became a Christian, I had so many people after church, the church I was at, come up to me, because I'd only just come from the secular world, feel more comfortable sharing that, oh yeah, I had a few years when I was younger, I kind of like left church for a while and experienced things, but I came back now. We have it, it's just not as formal. But the problem is with both, is that Paul warns us about the dangers of dabbling with the world, the dangers of having different sort of things having mastery over us, and to experiment with them is to almost be taking the risk of being entangled by them forever. Paul is writing to Timothy and to Titus to show them what it means to be a Christian leader. This is what a Christian leader looks like, and therefore the congregations that you're leading should also look like this. A mature Christian, a Christian should have the character of someone who is blameless, who has self-control, who is trustworthy, and have actions that are tempered, that are other-focused, that are all good, and in line with sound doctrine. A mature Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, needs to be someone that is just above reproach. They cannot be accused of doing what is wrong because it's just not in them. This is a really big pivot point, a really big step from going from a Christian infant to now a young adult and then further onto being a parent. This is a crunch time. This is the move from going from an infant to someone who is now, whole life is now, as Paul calls it in Romans, a living sacrifice to God. Not that we need a sacrifice, Jesus is our once for all sacrifice, but because he has died in our place and made us right with him, in response to the grace he has poured out with us, we use our whole selves, our whole lives as a living sacrifice, because all of us is now under Christ's lordship. And I wonder if you've ever thought of that. Have you ever thought that Jesus is to be Lord over all of your lives? Is he Lord over all of your lives? Or is he Lord over just parts of your life? Do you offer some parts and not others? Or are you still even deciding and discerning? How long have you been deciding for? At this stage, if you are a believer in Jesus, your life should look like the list I have before me that Paul is writing to Timothy and Titus. You don't have to be perfect. It's not about what you do. It's always about what Jesus does. But if you're a believer in Jesus, your life should reflect your Savior as well. And, of course, this feels overwhelming. Because it is a crunch time. The young adult stage particularly is a crunch time in someone's faith journey. There's big expectations that seem to be placed on your life as a believer. I remember feeling the way back in the school musicals of the expectations put on me to get through this as a little year seven kid. Imagine the weight that Titus must have felt being put in a church by himself to model everything and to show people what's right amongst false teaching. This crunch time, many people get through, but sadly, many people also don't. I remember just as I became a Christian, there was a girl at my church who at a church camp was sharing with me that she was really wrestling with her faith. To me, it's like, Jesus is amazing. I've gone from being an atheist to now I'm a Christian. I now understand the truth, and this is amazing. I wish I'd known about this earlier. If only everybody else could hear it and understand it, then the whole world would be right. And it just didn't make sense to me that this girl was going the completely opposite direction to me. She shared with me that she had been reading Revelation 3, where it talks about having a lukewarm faith. That for those with a lukewarm faith, Jesus will spit them out. And then she said, she feels like she has a lukewarm faith. And very sadly, no matter what I said, she drifted away. And she's lived an incredibly secular life ever since. And I think what you can learn, sadly, from her example, is that being a believer in Jesus, that crunch time from going from infant to then to parent, is the transition of being, you need to be all in for Jesus. Not just parts of you, but all of you needs to be there. There's another guy as well, the same church, who was the guy for youth group. He was a leader. Everyone thought this guy was so solid. He had it put together. Everyone wanted to be in his Bible study. And then at one point, he started wrestling with same-sex attraction. Took everyone by surprise. And he said to his Bible study at the time, this youth that he was leading, that actually he's not going to lead this group anymore because he needs to go off and try and work out what is going on. And sadly, he exchanged one gospel for another. And I think what we can see very sadly from his example that, yes, he was in a community. And he's now gone to a community. But the only way you get through this crunch time is being a part of the community that is shaped and resembles Jesus himself. So what can we do to help people going through this stage? What do they need? We need to be teaching them the truth constantly in our words and in our actions. We need to live out the truth around them and to them. We need to show that the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done for us is the most prioritized thing in our lives. Because after all, if we don't show that we take Jesus seriously, how could we ever expect anyone else to? So what about the next stage? We go from young adult, but heading towards parent. What sort of things would we be wanting to do? It's not about works. We don't earn our way up to this, but what sort of characteristics are we looking to see in someone like this? One of the distinct differences between the young adult and the parent, the young adult is very much about their ministry. It's about what they are doing, whereas the parent is much more confident in what they're doing, and they are sharing and growing others in it. So the first sign is other focus. The next thing is to be self-sustainable, to be someone who is actually teaching yourself, have your own spiritual diet. It is very difficult to live a whole life where your only spiritual diet is on Sundays and maybe once through the week. These things are supplement to your own spiritual diet. Are you helping to grow yourself? We have so many great leaders here and so many great programs, but to put all the emphasis on that for your own growth is too much. And then we get this comment that I hear quite often amongst our young adults that we're just not growing under this person or in this system at the moment. But it's not about the person or the system. They're helpful. It's about how are you living in light of what Jesus has done? How are you growing to love and know him more? For a lot of you right now, although you may not resemble chronologically a young adult, you may be at that stage yourself. And you need to get through to the other side. And the only way you will do that is by putting all of your faith in Jesus and having him Lord over all of your life. Not in your own strength, but in Jesus' strength. To have faith in him. Because when you have faith in him, what seems impossible becomes possible. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you have saved us from death to life. And we thank you so much that you have brought us along a faith journey at each and every stage. And I pray for those who feel that they're at a young adult stage. Place around them people who will encourage them, people who will keep them accountable, people that will share wisdom with them. And we pray for those who are young adults at the moment, they will think about who they can actually invest in themselves and start to be other person focused. Help us all to have faith in your unfailing love. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.